Okay, chapter 5, Fluff to Mouse, Mouse to Mice. The next rations day, Red and I walked home together from the mill. We hugged our ration sacks to us, the promise of fresh bread inside them. I wanted to ask Red more about her granny and the things she said to me, but I didn't dare. Not with the way she'd reacted when I said her granny was strange. Sometimes little things could make Red steaming mad. I just couldn't tell what those little things might be. That's the danger with Red. Unpredictable. Suddenly, Red groaned, and I looked up to see a tall, skinny man leaning against a tree, a giant sack flung over his shoulder. "Kessler, the peddler!" I shouted. The man turned toward me, flipped his hat off his head, and bowed. His bright orange hair stuck out in every direction. Kessler was the only person we ever saw from the kingdom, besides the tax collector. He came to the mountain to sell goods from the kingdom, colorful threads, clay pots, and wooden spoons. Sometimes he had gold, likely from our mines, molded into rings and bracelets and chains. How funny that we dug up all that gold, but we never could afford to buy it back. But I wasn't interested in gold, and the thing I wanted most to see from Kessler wasn't in his old patched-up sack. "Children!" chimed Kessler. He looked around to see if we were alone, then whispered, "Come for a spell? An enchantment?" Magic. I stepped forward, but Red grabbed my shirt collar and hauled me back. "Of course not," spat Red. "Speak for yourself." I shook her off, and I heard Frederick and Bruno talk of Kessler's magic. Nothing like a witch turned someone into a toad or making a storm, but he could touch fire, make things disappear, or turn one small thing into another. That's what I wanted most, to see him turn one small thing into something else. "Only cost you a scoop of grain," said Kessler. I hesitated. Gran would be furious if she knew I'd traded even a tiny amount of our food for a magic trick. We had so little to begin with. Besides, she didn't approve of magic. I shook my head and stepped back. "Oh, come, just one scoop? You won't starve for it. Bet you haven't had much fun in weeks, all that digging." Kessler gave a feeble smile. Suddenly I saw the hunger in his eyes, how hollow and sharp his cheeks were. He must be even hungrier than I was to sell a magic trick for a scoop of grain. Was I that hungry to see the magic? "Can you turn one thing into another?" "Of course, of course." He waved me to come closer. "Don't rump." I turned to see Red standing with her arms folded around her rations, glaring at Kessler. Kessler frowned. "There's no harm in it." "Says who?" said Red. She suddenly looked very motherly. "Last time you came, you set Gus's hair on fire." "Well, that was a bit of a, and remember Helga and her wart?" "Purely coincidence," said Kessler, cutting her off with a nervous laugh. He reached into his pockets. "Look, see? No fire, no warts." He reached into his pockets again. "I will simply turn this bit of fuzz into a mouse. A mouse." He waved a tuft of lint in front of my face. Could he really turn it into a mouse? Grant told me a story of turning mice into horses and a pumpkin into a golden coach. Wouldn't it be fun to see a bit of fuzz turn into a live mouse? "Rump," said Red through gritted teeth. "No." I ignored her. It was just a scoop of grain. Gran would hardly notice, and I'd skip breakfast in the morning. That was fair. I opened my ration sack, and Kessler whipped a tin cup from his pocket. He quickly scooped out a heap of flour and then pocketed it again. My stomach clenched. I'd have to skip 3 breakfasts for that. Red clucked her tongue in disappointment. "And now," said Kessler, holding out the piece of lint, "I shall turn this little fuzz into a mouse." Kessler cupped the fuzz in both hands and brought it close to his face. He muttered some words, and his eyes got big and glassy. The fuzz started to tremble and swell. A tail poked out of one end, and the other end grew ears and a pointy little snout and made a tiny squeak. Last to take shape were 4 small paws and 2 beady black eyes. A mouse! He had turned the fuzz into a mouse! "Did you see?" I said to Red, pointing to the mouse. "I saw," she said grumpily. I smiled up at Kessler. He smiled back and put the mouse in his vest pocket. "Next time, maybe I'll turn the mouse into a cat." We looked down to see another mouse scurrying towards us. Then came another, and another. 6 mice were scattering over Kessler's feet. "Well, look at that." He pulled the mouse out of his pocket. "They've come to greet their new friend. Isn't that magical?" I started to nod in agreement, but then I heard strange noises. A pattering like rain, and also a distant squeaking, like a flock of birds taking flight. The sounds got louder. "Here it comes," said Red. Kessler's eyes went wide. He held the mouse up and stared at it. "Oh, oh my!" Then came the explosion. An explosion of mice! Hundreds of mice poured from trees and holes in the ground, through windows and under door cracks. Screams and shouts echoed through the mountains. Something crashed in a nearby cottage, and a man threw open the door and fled with a dozen mice squeaking at his heels. The mice converged and ran toward us. I scrambled up a nearby tree and wrapped my legs around it. "Time to go!" Kessler hitched up his pants, flung his sack over his shoulder, and ran, mice trailing in his wake. Red laughed and shook her head. "That fool! He still hasn't learned to stay away from magic. He'd be safer playing with fire." "But Kessler only does small tricks. What's wrong with that?" "All magic has consequences, Rump. Even small magic can have big consequences." "If he had turned it into a squirrel, would all the squirrels have attacked?" "Something entirely different could have happened. Something even worse. Like, maybe he would have grown squirrel teeth." Red stuck out her teeth and wiggled her nose. I laughed. Red dropped her squirrel face so she looked grave and grim. "For your food, Kessler takes the risk. But one day, it will catch up to him. He might not even get to eat that food before the mice do." I felt annoyed. What made her think she knew everything about magic? "Well, I thought it was brilliant. I should have paid him more," I said. "Why?" "He got rid of all the mice in the village." Red stared at me, then shook her head and walked away. If I could, I would do magic. I would change lots of things for good. Like make myself grow or turn fuzz into food. I'd put more gold in the mountain. That bit of magic made me hungry for more. More magic, more transformation, and not from Kessler. I wanted magic all my own. How bad could the consequences be?